Reformed Church.
I was thinking about what it means to have the righteousness of God. You know, that 2 Corinthians talks about, right, how we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is such a cool thing to be able to have. Obviously, Jesus has the righteousness of God himself. He doesn't have a righteousness of his own. He has God's righteousness. That's how Jesus could become our sin. And then you would expect it to say that we have the righteousness of Jesus, right? That he took our sin, we take his righteousness. Well, we did take Jesus' righteousness, but his righteousness is the righteousness of God. He is the power, wisdom, and righteousness of God revealed. So when we got Jesus' righteousness, we were made the righteousness of God. And it's so cool that we do talk about, which of course has to be said, that the reason why we are righteous is because of Jesus' payment at the cross. It's not because of our works. It's not, the righteousness of the law means that I am only clean, I'm only righteous, I'm only pure while I'm doing the right thing, or if I can do enough right things. That's the righteousness of the law. But the righteousness of faith, the righteousness of the New Testament, is that by Jesus' work, we're made righteous, and therefore we can't fall out of it or lose it by our works, because it was never received through our works to begin with. So that has to be said. But there's another level to that, too, that I was just thinking about. And, you know, it's the righteousness of God. It's not my righteousness. It's his righteousness that I've received through the work of Jesus. The thing that's immensely important about that is that it's kind of like we've received God's reputation. Like, his righteousness is something that he maintains. I don't maintain his righteousness, right? Any more than I maintain your reputation, right? As far as a truthful reputation I'm talking about. Of course, people could always lie about you or something, but I'm not talking about that. But I can't maintain your reputation. And if I do something wrong, it's not a reflection on you, right? It would be a reflection on me. Well, God, receiving the righteousness of God means that that's a righteousness that he maintains. Right? God's righteousness could only be tainted or stained by something that he did or something that he thought. And so I am actually maintained in righteousness by what God does, what God thinks. If I have his righteousness and his qualities living on the inside of me now, that means that nothing that I could do could tarnish his righteousness, right? So it's God's righteousness that, of course, I have received through the vessel Jesus to be my own, and therefore I can't lose it because it's secured by a price. But I was thinking even further, whose righteousness it is, or you could say whose reputation it is that I've received. And it's such an important thing to realize that it's not your righteousness. Sometimes we can say, I'm righteous, and that's fine. But you have to realize when you say that I'm righteous, you can't get into a lot of, it's pretty popular today to, positive thinking is sort of growing in popularity in the church today. And things that are truths about what Jesus did for us sometimes end up being taken at the exclusion of Jesus and just sort of applied to ourselves without really talking about Jesus. Like, oh, I'm righteous. God says you're righteous. God says you're holy. God says, you know, whatever, he's proud of you, or like these things. It's not really said as, you know, these things weren't my own. They were paid for by Jesus, and therefore I received them. I think a lot of the church is sort of content to just say, God's, why are you righteous? Because God says so. That is not the truth. You're not righteous because God says so. God says so because it was paid for by Jesus' blood. So you have to understand the vessel through which it was the payment of Jesus that made us righteous. Because just saying I'm righteous by itself, that is self-righteousness, right? And it's not just that we're righteous. It's that we weren't righteous. He had to make us righteous. Because here's the other problem with just saying I'm righteous. Not only does it become a form of self-righteousness, or it makes you sort of forget that, like, no, this is through Jesus, and it's not my own righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. But also, too, it lends itself to feeling unrighteous when you do something wrong. Or it lends itself to where it's hard to believe that just, quote-unquote, I'm righteous when I do something wrong. Because that is hard to understand, right? God says you're righteous, God says you're holy. Well, then you do something wrong or something just really terrible, right? Because there are terrible things that we can do. It just so happens that Jesus took all the terrible for us, right? It doesn't make what we did not like a shameful or terrible thing. It means that Jesus bore it already. He became that for us, so we wouldn't have to be it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take away that sin is shameful or terrible because we're righteous now through him. Jesus took the shame and terribleness of sin so much so that he was punished with death for it. We are not that anymore, but it's through his work that we're not that anymore. We're his righteousness and through his work. And the trouble with even saying, oh, God just says I'm righteous. When I do something wrong, it starts getting hard to believe. Like, why would God call me righteous if I do something terrible? Like, why would God call me righteous if I do something that's shameful? Like, it's then you'll just start confessing, no, but God, you say I'm righteous. That's not going to work on your conscience. Your conscience is going to have a hard time with that, and it should. Your conscience is that knowledge of good and evil and weighing things out and that sense of justice that people are born with. And it's going to look at that and say, you did something wrong. Okay, you can try to convince yourself you're righteous, but, you know, it's probably still okay to feel quote-unquote bad about that thing and, you know, to kind of mourn over that a little bit because, you know, how can you really say you're righteous? But you see, when it's not your righteousness, it has nothing to do with your righteousness. It's his reputation you've received. It's very easy for your conscience to be like, oh, okay, well, if it's not your righteousness that you received, if it's the righteousness of God, then, of course, someone else's reputation of being righteous could not be stained by your works. It's not your righteousness. You're getting his righteousness. Even Paul said in Philippians 3, not having a righteousness of my own, which is through the law, but the righteousness which is of faith. You see, like, it's so important to understand it's not your righteousness that you've received. You've been created in an image with qualities, with thoughts in your spirit right now. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. That you think the thoughts of God on the inside of you, in your spirit. You have the power, wisdom, righteousness. You have the intentions of God. You have all the sayings of God, the word of God. All of these things are on the inside of you, and it has nothing to do with you. They're not your qualities in the sense that you originated them. They're qualities that originated with God. It's his righteousness, and more so than just saying that it's his righteousness, and therefore you can't stain someone else's reputation by what you do. The only one that could ever stain our righteousness, and by our righteousness now, I've clarified now, right? By now we know that the only way you can stain the righteousness that you currently have, which is the righteousness of God, is if he ever did something wrong. Because it's not yours, it's his. It would take God to think a wrong thought or do something impure or say something wrong for your righteousness to be stained. But furthermore, you say, well, when it comes to the potential of, well, why do I have the righteousness of God? How could I ever deserve the ability to say that I have the righteousness of God today? And is there any potential of losing that righteousness? Well, the reason why, one, you can never lose that righteousness, but especially by your works, and two, the reason why, to answer the question as to what could I ever do to deserve God giving me his righteousness? Well, again, that comes to the payment, Jesus, the vessel through which we've received the righteousness of God. It had nothing to do with you deserving it. Because sometimes people would say, Lord, who am I? Well, you know, what have I ever done to deserve your righteousness? But you gave it anyway, and grace just isn't fair. You know, there's an old song that I used to listen to that says that, you know, that the beauty of grace, it makes life not fair. And that's the church's idea of grace to an extent. It's not fair, it's just the love of God. But that's also not true. While we didn't deserve of our own works to have the righteousness of God, somebody's work did deserve or merit, give us the ability to have the righteousness of God, and that's the work of Jesus at the cross. It's so important. It's not your righteousness, it's God's. And it's the work of Jesus at the cross that because he became our sin, that's why it's easy to believe that we can swap with him and get his righteousness, which happens to be the righteousness of God. And now your conscience can look at that. You know, God doesn't want to violate your conscience. He doesn't want to work against your conscience. God wants to work with your conscience. Your conscience is a sense of justice that you have, and God wants to satisfy your conscience. Paul said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. You want to commend the teaching to someone's conscience. You want to let everyone's conscience know, no, this is perfectly fair. It's perfectly just. So conscience, when you want to condemn me, calm down. It's not my righteousness. I can say that I'm righteous now because it's not mine, it's his. And only God would be in charge of upholding or maintaining that righteousness, therefore, because it's not mine, it's his. And as long as he's not done anything wrong, his righteousness is still the same. And if through the work of Jesus, and only through the work of Jesus, if he became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in him, then I know that I've never lost that righteousness. I'm the bearer of the righteousness of God because Jesus became my sin. You see, that calms your conscience down. It lets your conscience know, you know what? I'm still righteous. Not just because I've always been righteous, but I'm still righteous today as a believer. As someone who's put faith in the work of Jesus, I'm still righteous because, one, God has never done anything wrong, so I know that the righteousness of God is still free and clear of any sin, of any stain, of any guilt. And I know that the work of Jesus was good enough to get me that righteousness that can only be stained by the works of the Father, and of course, that would never happen. So it's so important to understand whose righteousness you have and through whom you receive that righteousness, and of course, that's the work of Jesus. And that is the difference, from just in sort of a nutshell, between just simply people saying, you're righteous because God says so, versus actually giving your conscience, which it needs and should have, the just backing for why you can say that you're righteous today. Nothing wrong with saying you're righteous today, it's true, but it's the Lord our righteousness, and we have that through the work of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.